Today I have a question for you. Have you ever felt like you were the wrong person for the job? Like, what did you get yourself into? You didn't have the right experience or the right skill set? Well, I know I have, and you probably have too. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Okay, today we're going to continue with the series, The Manifestation of Your Life Mission. Rick is showing us that no matter how big the thing is that God is calling us to do, we don't have to run away from it. We can actually run toward it. This is such a good message, and I hope you'll invite a friend to listen along with you as we discover how to embrace God's calling on our lives and how we can live according to the purpose and plan that He has for us. And now here's Rick with the final part of a message called What to Do When You Get a Second Chance.
Now, you need to realize that if you've had your last chance, you're not going to get a warning. You're not going to get any more warnings if you've used up your last chance. There's not going to be any more warnings. Now, the point is, let me make the point. There's going to be times in your life when you see friends that you love or family members or coworkers that you care about, and you see them about to walk off a cliff and lose everything because of a dumb decision. Part of your life mission is to warn them. To warn them. And if you don't, you don't love them. Because love warns. Now, when does God expect you to warn people that you love? When? Well, I went through those over 100 verses in the New Testament this week, and I made a list of all things we're supposed to warn people about. We don't have time for that. But let me just summarize it in two categories. Write these down. When am I supposed to warn people that I love? Number one, when they're not thinking wisely. And number two, when they're not acting wisely. I'm supposed to warn the people I care about when they're not thinking wisely or when they're not acting wisely. Now, this is not your whole life message, but it is a part of it. Just as warning was a part of Jonah's life message. I'm supposed to warn people when they're not thinking wisely or when they're not acting wisely. Now, just in case you think I'm making too big a deal about this, let me take you to another guy, another prophet named Ezekiel. Not the football player, but here's what the Bible says about Ezekiel. Ezekiel 33, 1-9. The Lord said to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, warn your people by saying this, someday I, the Lord, may send an enemy to invade your country. And suppose you people choose someone to stand watch and sound a warning when the enemy is seen coming. Okay? Now, if you ignore the warning and you're killed in battle, it'll be your own fault, because you could have escaped if you just paid attention, in other words, to the warning. But suppose the person given the mission of watching and warning fails to sound the warning signal. In that case, he says, then I, the Lord, will hold that person responsible for the death of those people. Now, Ezekiel, I have appointed you to stand and warn, to stand watch and warn the people of your nation. So listen to what I say and then warn them for me. And here's what God says. When I warn people that they'll die if they keep sinning against me, you got to warn them to turn from their sinful ways. But if you fail to warn them, then I'll hold you responsible for their death. On the other hand, if you do warn them and they ignore you, they'll die because of their sins, but you will be innocent. Wow. Now that whole passage makes me ask myself and ask you two questions. Have you ever warned anybody about anything? Spiritual? Have you ever warned anybody about a spiritual or a moral danger? Or were you more interested in being popular than helping them? Were you more afraid of their disapproval than you were in love with God and love them enough to tell them the truth, you're about to walk off a cliff. We live in a nation that is crumbling, that the culture is falling apart. And if believers in Christ don't speak up, who's going to do it? Here's the other question. Who is God going to hold you responsible for one day because you said nothing and let them destroy their lives? You just let them walk off the cliff and you said nothing. This is important. This is not your whole life mission, but it is one facet, one factor in it. Now, there's one more thing that Jonah did, and this is a positive. So here's the number five, okay? If I know God's given me a second chance, and every day is a second chance, then I'm going to live my life with profound gratitude. I'm going to focus my life on God, not myself, and on making my mission a priority, not everything else I was living for. I'm not going to delay. I'm going to obey today, and I'm going to accept my responsibility. Sometimes I have to warn people I love because I love them, and I do it in love, and I accept warnings in humility. Here's the fifth thing. When God gives me another chance, expect God to use me. This is good news. I expect God to use me. See, God doesn't keep you alive for you to live for yourself. He keeps you alive because he wants you to use you. God doesn't keep you alive. He doesn't give you another chance just so you can retire and do nothing. No, God keeps you alive because he has a plan and a life mission that's still in operation, whether you've done anything about it or not, up to this point. And he's saying, I want to use you. When God keeps you alive, it means God's not through with you. God is not finished with you. God has a plan. God wants to use you. You say, Rick, you don't know what I've been through. Doesn't matter. God only uses imperfect, broken people. If God only used perfect people, nothing would get done because there are no perfect people. God only uses ordinary, broken, imperfect people like me. I'm an ordinary, broken, imperfect person, and God uses me. And God says, I'm using you as an ordinary, imperfect, broken person. See, one of the problems, a common mistake, is we turn these people in the Bible into like superheroes. There are no superheroes in the Bible. They're all just ordinary people, ordinary women, ordinary men like you and me. Jonah's an ordinary guy. He doesn't want to do what God says to do. God gives him a turnaround. He goes and does what God tells him to do. He doesn't even do it correctly, not even with the right attitude. But God still uses it. And this is, but you see, expect God to use you is the fifth thing. This is why Jonah was in such a sour mood, because he knew that God was going to use him, and he didn't want to be used. He's going, I don't want these people to have a spiritual revival. I don't want these people to repent. I don't like these people. I'm prejudiced against them. They're not my political background. They're my enemy. And you're telling me, go and warn them, which means you don't really want to do this. And because if you wanted to, you wouldn't even warn them. And second, if you're telling me to go warn them, then they're going to listen to my warning and they're going to actually get forgiven. That sucks. And that's why he's got this sour mood, because he doesn't want any of this. He knows what God's going to do. Now, what happens next is flat out miracle, because the city responds to Jonah's 7-word sermon. That's all it is. 7-word sermon. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. Wow, what a sermon. And is the biggest spiritual revival in history. The largest city in the world turns to God. Look up here on the screen. Here's what it says. The Ninevites believed God, and they humbled themselves, putting on sackcloth. What's sackcloth? It's cloth you make sacks out of. Burlap. It's burlap. They put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least as a symbol of their humility. And when the news reached the king of Nineveh, this is the head of the Assyrian Empire, He rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with burlap, sackcloth, and even the king sat down in the dust. Then the king proclaimed a public fast. And he says, no human or animals to eat or drink anything. Let each of us and even our animals be covered with sackcloth. Then let us all pray urgently to God. And let us turn from our evil ways. And let us stop all our violence. Who knows? God may yet relent with compassion and turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Folks, that is a greater miracle than a fish swallowing Jonah. The king of Assyria, the empire, and the entire city, the largest city in the world, turning to God in humility, that's a bigger miracle right there. And I want you to notice, I went through that pretty quickly, five things that they did. Because these five things that they did are the pathway to personal revival and national revival. And we need both of them in our world today. Here's what they did. Number one, they humbled themselves. Number two, they fasted. Okay, they proclaimed a public fast. Number three, they prayed urgently. Okay, they prayed urgently. Okay, number four, they turned from evil. And the bad things they were doing. And number five, they said, let's stop all violence. Would that change our society if we did those things? Hello? I mean, just imagine, for 50 years, Nineveh has been the world's largest city. They're so proud. Then why in the world did they respond to a seven-word sermon and everybody turns to God instantly? That's an incredible miracle. Why were they so receptive, even though Jonah's message was unloving and short? Because God had prepared their heart. And how had God prepared their heart? The way he prepares every heart, through pain. Through pain. Now, you wouldn't know this, but the largest city in the world turns to God because they'd had pain in just the few years before that. You have to know a little bit about archaeology and ancient history to know this. So let me read this to you. You see, when this happens, when Jonah is going there, the Assyrian Empire had been dominant for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's like the British Empire, the Roman Empire, the American Empire. Okay, but now they're in decline. And the empire's in decline, and they're losing battles against the Medes and the Persians, which is Iraq and Iran. And they had domestic riots inside the city going on at this time. In 765 BC, they had a seven-year famine. This is right when Jonah is in time. 765, that began a seven-year famine. 763 BC, it was a total eclipse of the sun. We actually even know it was on June 15th. And that scared the entire ancient world because that was like a prophecy of like doom is coming. In 762, Nineveh had a massive earthquake. It sits on a fault, and they had a massive earthquake in the city. In 761, the Tigris River, which is right by Nineveh, flooded the city. So they've had total eclipse, floods, enemies, riots, fires, earthquakes. These disasters happen right before Jonah has arrived. God is preparing their hearts. And Jonah 3:10 says this, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion. Duh, that's what he wanted to do. And he did not do what he had warned he would do. Because of this revival, the Assyrian Empire's demise, the destruction of the Assyrian Empire, was postponed 100 years. And Nineveh was not destroyed until about 612 AD by the Medes and the Persians. It went for another 100 years. Does this remind you of a culture that's been dominant, seems to be decaying, and if they had a revival, God might give them another 100 years? Nineveh finally fell in 612 AD. This revival where an entire city comes to God was so famous in the ancient world. I mean, everybody knew this. This is not just in the Bible. Everybody knew this story of Jonah and Nineveh. In fact, 1,200 years later, Muhammad tells the story of Jonah and the revival in Nineveh and writes it in the Quran, the Muslim book. You didn't know that. The story of Jonah and the fish and the revival in Nineveh, it's not just in the Bible, it's in the Quran. Because everybody in the ancient world knew this for hundreds and hundreds of years. Nothing had ever happened like it. He was just an ordinary guy who says, okay, I'll do it. And he didn't even do it very well. What would happen if a city like LA or Berlin or Buenos Aires or Manila or Hong Kong did the five things that the people in Nineveh did? We'd have revival. We would have revival. In this story, both Jonah and the entire city get a second chance. Now, the fact that you're still alive, let's get back to you. The fact that you're still alive means God is still giving you a second chance. Okay? But you have to pay attention to his warnings. You have to pay attention to his warnings and then do these five things. Last verse on the screen. Hebrews chapter 3, warn each other every day. It's my job to warn you, it's your job to warn me, and it's our job to warn each other. Warn each other every day, because it's still today. In other words, we don't know about tomorrow, but we're still here today, so we're gonna warn each other today. We can't work on tomorrow, it's not here. Warn each other every day, because it's still called today. And so that your heart isn't hardened against God by the sin's deceit. We will share in all that belongs to Christ. That's good news. If we hold firmly till the end. So, if you hear God's voice today, listen and don't be stubborn. So listen, I want you to listen to me because I love you. If you wake up tomorrow morning, which I assume you will, but it's just an assumption. If you wake up tomorrow morning, you realize that every new day is another chance that God has given you. And you need to do these five things that Jonah did. Start thanking God at the beginning of the day. Thank you, God, for another day. I'm breathing. I'm alive. I have a pulse. You've given me air. Thank God every day. Start living your life with profound gratitude. Number two, make your life mission the top priority of your life. Not making money, not anything else. Number three, don't delay, obey today. Whatever you've been putting off, stop it. Number four, accept your responsibility to warn other people that you love when you need to. Don't let them just walk off the cliff. And number five, expect God to use you because that's why you're still here. Let's bow our heads. Father, I want to thank you that your mercy is new every day because we all need second chances. I sure do. Help us to remember that every moment of our lives is another chance from you. Help us not to waste it. Help us to humbly accept warnings from other people who love us and help us to love other people enough and care about them to lovingly warn them. Father, every one of us have had that stubborn pride, but we can all hear you clearly right now. So we're saying we want to be the kind of people that you want us to be. Now you pray, God, help me to be more grateful, to live with an attitude of gratitude, profound gratitude, for each new day that you give me a chance. I want to make my life mission your top priority. And the stuff I've been delaying on, I'm not going to postpone it, procrastinate anymore. Help me to care and love people more than I love their approval. And when I need to warn somebody in love, give me the courage to do that, because I don't want their life on my responsibility. And most of all, Lord, help me to expect you to use me, because that's why I'm here. I'm not here to live for me, but for you. Jesus Christ, I want you to be the manager of my life from here on out. And I want to follow you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Hi, everybody. This is Rick, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus, and I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
I don't know about you, but I am encouraged after that message. And let's keep the encouragement going with a letter from one of our listeners. Here's Rick.
You know, I really enjoy getting letters from you, and I'd like to thank each of you who've taken the time to write me. Your letters and your emails really do encourage me. In fact, let me just read one from a listener that I can share with you. It says this: Dear Pastor Rick, I'm a suburban public school teacher who works in a district with a great socioeconomic and ethnic divide. I love the diversity of my student population, but at the same time, these high school students arrive with all kinds of religious and moral values, which, of course, impacts their relationships with others. Daily Hope always gives me the compass I need to guide my day. I like how your messages encourage respecting cultural differences while maintaining the truth. I think it's important to foster relationships with others in the name of Jesus. Pastor Rick, I listen to Daily Hope on my 35-minute drive to work, and although I can't mention God or Jesus in school, students are allowed to initiate that discussion with me. So I'm refreshed and equipped daily because of your messages. Thanks for the broadcast. I look forward to it every day. Sincerely, Amy. Well, thanks for writing, Amy. Keep up the good work with your students, and I'm glad that Daily Hope is encouraging and equipping you in the calling that God has called you to do. And I want you to know I'm going to be praying for you because you wrote to me. To the rest of you, I just want to say Jesus is able to reach every person because he came to save all people. Jesus came for every tribe and every nation and every culture on earth. In fact, the Bible says in Revelation 7:9 that one day in heaven, that every tribe, every nation, every people, and every ethnic group will be clothed in robes, standing before the throne of God, praising God in that day. That's why it's so important to share this good news with not just our kind of people, but with every kind of people.
I tell people about Daily Hope all the time, whether it's somebody I know or even just a casual conversation, because I know when they listen, they're going to be filled with hope and it will bless their lives. It's really easy. Just go to PastorRick.com, click on the Listen tab. There you're going to find buttons where you can share the message by email, social media, or WhatsApp. You can share Jesus by sharing Daily Hope. That's PastorRick.com. We hope you'll join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.